The hour of recess having expired, the Senate is back in session. Senator from Shelby.
Mr. President, I would ask if there are messages from the House, and if so, that they be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Resolution Number 1. Be it resolved that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives of the 102nd General Assembly, Second Regular Session, inform the Governor and the Senate that the House is duly convened and is now in session in the 2024 Constitutional Veto Session and ready for consideration of business. Respectfully submitted, Dana Roddeman Miller, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Lawrence.
May I inquire the senator from Cass, please?
Senator from Cass, do you yield to an inquiry to Senator from Lawrence?
I do. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for accommodating me here. I don't know if it's much of an inquiry necessarily, but I appreciate you standing so that I can vent just a little bit. You were in the House at the same time I was in the House, and I don't recall, were you on the Ways and Means Committee at one time? I think Senator Koenig was the chair when he was in the House, and there came about a situation where I became aware of a rogue push by one of our departments, the Department of Revenue. I'll just be frank about this whole thing. They conducted what was known as notification by audit. There were several businesses that I learned who were harmed by a governmental agency, where a government, one of the primary intents is to protect the God-given rights of everybody. It's not to put their thumb on someone and to quash them and then beat them down to a pulp and then put their heel on their skull. But I learned through testimony and visits with other companies that the Department of Revenue was actually doing that. They had arbitrarily changed rules on how taxes are collected over 10 years ago. They decided that they would conduct audits. So they went from business to business in one particular sector. This one particular business owner told me I had nothing to hide. He opened their doors, willingly opened their doors to the Department of Revenue. They came in and conducted an audit, and they said, Mr. Business Owner, his name's T.J. Rehack. I'll just tell it for the world to know. T.J. Rehack was one of these businesses that was harmed. They told him, Mr. Rehack, you owe $220,000 in uncollected taxes. He was bewildered. He said, I didn't have that kind of money in the bank. And so over about a month, they did some arbitration, haggling, and they said, Mr. Rehack, we'll accept $36,000 in lieu of the $220,000. And he said, Mike, guess how much money I had in the bank? $36,000, and they took it all. And so after hearing that, I wondered to myself, what has been done to restore them, to make them whole? Nothing that I could find. So I started a quest. First, I filed it as a bill to see if we could convince the Department of Revenue to open the audit and go back and pay the money. And they said, we have no mechanism. And Jim Murphy was a House member. I think it was my last year in the House. We had decided in a different tactic. But we got a hearing, and he asked the Department of Revenue staff, he said, you conducted an audit, right? Yes, sir, we did. He said, reopen the audit, admit your mistake, and pay back the money. Brilliant. I had not thought of that myself. That was a brilliant thought that Jim Murphy had. And guess what happened? Can you take a guess? Nothing. Nothing imagine happened. That. Because then they said, we have no mechanism. We have no legal way to do that. I said, wait a minute. You ripped these guys off. That's supposedly legal, right? And now you can't find a way to give it back? It was just $36,000. T.J. Rehack told me he had a relative who's an attorney. He hired him, paid him $500. He learned pretty quickly this was a losing cause, because we're paying the attorneys from the state, the attorneys within the department, and now you're going to have to pay me out of your hard-earned money to fight against the people we're funding, and they've got all the power. He said, you're going to lose, T.J. So TJ said, well, I'm not going to do it legislative or litigation anymore. He was smart. So in his work to get it done legislatively, he told me probably 4 years ago, it might be five now, he said, I'm not coming back to Jefferson City because I don't trust that you guys can get this done. Boy, was he ever right. Now, I sat in the governor's boardroom 5 years ago. It was my last year in the House. And he said, look, we're going to continue these audits, but nobody's going to have to pay. And I said, that's good enough for me. What a disappointment that turned out to be. Because they did continue the audits, and then they found another group, those who have wedding venues. And they started charging them as if they would an overnight stay facility. Oh, what kind of lunacy is that? It's like you've got a government here who's saying, we need more money, so let's find a way that we can pickpocket anybody we can. And they did it. Now, fortunately, all but one company in that group got their money back after spending tens of thousands of dollars on attorney's fees, and the government, in their benevolence, couldn't see a way to give them back the money they spent on attorneys. That, in most cases, amounted to more than the money the government stole from them. One company had a T-shirt business. They had a venue off to the side, and it was a fairly large meeting room, and the auditors, while they were there, they said, hey, what do you use this for? Well, we have events and things. Ah, the light bulb went off in their minds, and they said, we're going to need to look at your records. And they found them to owe $13,800. And Joe, the owner, said,
one was in Cass County, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
Yes, that was in Raymore, Missouri.
Yes.
Yes. So I wasn't a part of the Ways and Means, but I was there, and my constituent was reaching out to me for that very same reason.
So to make a long story short, our benevolent government agencies are acting in a rogue way. They're shutting down profitable businesses by overreaching their authority and telling them they owe things they really don't owe. And yet when they take it, they say, oh, we made a mistake, but there's nothing we can do to make it right. That's not the proper function of government.
You know what? I don't want to get in here, but imagine, so we've got a new incoming governorship. Imagine if they were to change the rule on car dealers. And all of a sudden, car dealers had to come up with hundreds of thousands of dollars that were never owed before. Or imagine a cattle farmer's, all of a sudden DOR goes in and changes the definitions on cattle where you've got to pay exorbitant amounts of money on your cattle farm or your row crop operation. Do you think this existing governor would have jumped up at the opportunity to give it back to farmers? You're darn right he would have.
Catch there, Senator.
You're darn right.
Yeah.
Because it's wrong.
Yeah, it is.
It was theft.
And it shouldn't matter which group it happened to.
That's right. Exactly right. That was my
opinion. Residents of Missouri, we all should be protected equally, but that's not what happened. I looked up something that was said by Theodore Roosevelt. I don't know when he said it, but he said this, it's hard to fail, but it's even worse never to have tried to succeed. And this is what gets my goat today. I had communication with some folks in the House. You know, Senator, what they told me? When I asked them to override the $36,000 line item, they said, well, the Senate won't take it up. I said, I will. You were probably here when the senator from Andrew was over there.
Yep.
How many years was it? My first year in the Senate? I don't remember. Oh, yes, I remember, because I was told the year before that if we'd get the veto over to the Senate, they would take it up. And I learned that the senator from Franklin said, oh, no, I have no interest in that. It doesn't affect my district. It affects the whole state.
Right.
It's still a black mark on our state because of what we've done, and we have no will to right the wrong. And what Theodore Roosevelt said, I don't know who's going to sit in that chair. Well, I do know who's going to sit in the chair. The sad part is, and forgive me, Mr. President, for taking more than 2 minutes I mentioned I'd take. It's probably been 10, I don't know. I can't let this go without expressing what's on my heart now, because if I go in, I'm going to be seething all fall. And I don't want to do that. It should not be something that we have to do to say, look, we've had this on our minds for a dozen years at least, and we've yet to remedy the problem. Now, we may know who's going to be in the seats in the coming months and years, but I think about TJ. I think about the Johnsons. I think about Terry and Joe and the countless others. I don't remember all the names now. It's been a few years since I've looked at the list. But are they not deserving of our attention? Are they not deserving of the same protections that we afford our state agencies and the employees who work in and among us? I think so. And this is not a hard thing. Personalities probably got in the way. Yeah, my personality probably got in the way because I stood against someone at some point in time. We need to forget all that stuff. So if someone else needs to take this up, please take it up. We need to restore and make whole these businesses again. And so I'm not finished. If I make it back for the next session, this will be one of the priorities that I'll have. And I'm hopeful that those who are sitting in the chairs around the chamber will want to do what's right and do everything in their power to make that happen. So, TJ, I'll offer an apology again to you, to the others who are still harmed and not made whole. I haven't forgotten you. I'm glad you're still in business. No credit to the state, I might add. But we hope to not enrich you, but just to refund what was taken wrongly. I'm going to say illegally. It was not legal. Well, I guess there can be found a way to say, yeah, it was legal, but it still wasn't right. It was unethical for certain. So, Senator from Cass, thank you. You got something else you want to say?
Senator, you know, I've heard the argument is that it's an unconstitutional move. Is that what you've heard? Is that what the...
To refund the money?
Yes, to refund.
I was told that there was no statutory authority.
So I asked that because have you paid taxes out of your income before, into the state?
Yeah.
And have you overpaid the state before and the annual taking of your money?
Right.
Does the state issue you a refund if you overpay? Is that all of a sudden unconstitutional that I've overpaid the government my duty and my tax?
I don't disagree that they could have remedied this years ago.
So that's
a decade
why I
ago.
Just wanted to bring that up. Yeah. I know you're finished, but that's one thing I've heard that it's unconstitutional, and it blows my mind. You know, 6 million people send in their taxes all year long, and they get refunds by the same government because they were overcharged taxation. These people were overcharged and incorrect taxation.
Yes.
So I for the life of me, don't understand this argument and this bullheaded approach to you in this fight that you've done. Thank you.
I appreciate your empathy there, and I hope that others will see that in the future. Mr. President, thank you, and best wishes to you.
Senator from Lawrence, may I briefly inquire of you?
You may.
Senator, I had no expectation that you were only going to talk for 2 minutes.
And you know what? Who knows what the future may hold, right? You know, so there was a lobbyist who sent something. I'm not sure if I can find it right offhand, but they were asked about the upcoming session. And they said that, I guess it was a question asked about it. And yeah, here it is. It says, it'll be a combination of a lot of new faces, leadership and staff to lead to a slow start. You still have, and I won't say the name, but it's the Senator from Lawrence, and remnants of conservative caucus to obstruct. Now, I need to say something about that. People told me I was part of the chaos caucus and an obstructionist, and you started this, Mr. President. But in any case, It won't be long. Less than 2 minutes, so it would have turned into five.
This is my inquiry. Just remember that.
Point well taken. And then there could be a point of personal privilege, but I won't go there. But in any case, I don't know, don't remember how long we talked or how many times we spoke, but outside the chamber, I think we got along pretty well. I don't think we understood each other exactly, but I think that if you really drill down to know my intent, hopefully you'll come maybe years from now that you would think that I wasn't really looking to obstruct something necessarily. There were occasions that, I wanted to kill something, kill a bill. And I think I was successful in some parts. But in any case, it is what it is. We'll see what the future holds.
Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
Senator from Shelby.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcement. What? Mr. President, the Senate will...
The Senate is at ease. Senator from Shelby.
The Senate will return to regular business.
Thank you, Senator.
I would ask if there are messages from the House, so could they be read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Resolution Number 2. Be it resolved by the House of Representatives that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives inform the Senate that the House, having been duly convened as provided by Article 3, Section 32 of the Constitution, adopted no motions to override the Governor's vetoes on Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2002, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2003, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2004, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2005, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2006, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2007, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2008, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2010, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2011, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2012, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2019, and Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2020, when the bills were called by the Speaker. Respectfully submitted, Dana Rodman Miller, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Shelby.
Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned, sine die, pursuant to the Constitution.
For the motion of the Senator from Shelby, all those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned, sine die, pursuant to the Constitution.